everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Five Red Lights Formula One podcast, a brand new podcast with two episodes coming every week. Thank you for tuning into this first episode about the first race of the 2021 season, the action-packed Bahrain Grand Prix. Let's get into it. So, with the first race of the season completed, Red Bull have made what is arguably their best start to a season in a long time, and Verstappen did manage to hold on to his pole position and lead the race for long stints, but he did eventually lose out to what could either be considered another Mercedes tactical masterclass or an amazing drive by Lewis Hamilton. In reality, probably a bit of both. This does produce the question as to whether Red Bull could have won the race had Perez been fighting at the pointy end of the field without his car turning off on the formation lap, but you never really know. However, he does appear more comfortable in that car than his predecessors. Despite some hairy moments in the last five or so laps, Hamilton was able to hold on to his first, and definitely not last, win of the season. With that being said, let's consider the race team by team. About the teams this weekend, it's probably best to consider Mercedes and Red Bull together, especially as their races were so close at the front of the field. Red Bull have clearly made up a lot of ground to Mercedes over the off-season, although I think perhaps they are faster in quali, but it looks like Mercedes have a slight advantage in race pace. However, this may have come from the strategy advantage with having two cars at the front of the field, while Perez had to fight through and wasn't quite able to get up there by the end of the race. We'll have to wait and see until Imola in 3 weeks' time if Perez is able to fight at the top in his new car, and also whether having a second car in the battle will allow Red Bull to really fight Mercedes over a season. I personally think that Red Bull will be able to, if his pace on Sunday and ability to overtake from the pit lane was a sign of things to come. Though Red Bull must adapt to this challenge as a team, potentially being in a position they have not been since 2013. Of course, both Verstappen and Hamilton had very impressive races, with Perez doing a very good job fighting through the field from an extremely disadvantaged start, what with his car deciding to turn itself off, leading to an aborted start and an additional formation lap. Bottas, on the other hand, seemed to have a quiet race in no man's land between Norris and the cars at the front, but I'm sure he would argue that his distance from the front two came due to his botched pit stop. However, he never really seemed to have the pace of the leading cars. He was seen complaining about the strategy being too passive, but if ever there was a word to describe Bottas, passive might be it. Just behind the podium was Lando Norris of McLaren. He showed some very impressive pace, managing to hold off what appears to be a much improved Ferrari for long stints of the race, finishing fourth and bringing in some very, very useful points for the team. It would appear that perhaps McLaren weren't showing more than the other teams in testing, and although it would appear that they're still at the front of the midfield, there is a very, very evident gap remaining to the front two teams. And with Perez gaining on Lando in the last few laps, sometimes by nearly a second a lap, I do wonder whether 5th might have been where he would have finished had Checo not had his little electronic blip on the formation lap. Moving on to Ricciardo, he had perhaps a slightly low-key debut for his new team, getting into a scrap with Gasly at the start of the race and showing some inconsistent pace. However, this was later explained by McLaren as being down to floor damage that he picked up in his contact with Gasly. Lando has had an extra 2 years in this car, and a little bit of time for Daniel to get up to speed is not unexpected in any way. He did show good pace in qualifying, and some struggles in his first race is not a massive surprise. At any rate, it went a lot better than his debut for Renault, as he completed the first lap with his front wing intact. Now then, finishing just behind the podium was Norris of McLaren. He did show some very impressive pace, managing to hold off what appears to be a much improved Ferrari for long stints of the race, finishing fourth and bringing in some very useful points for his team. It would appear, perhaps, that McLaren were showing more than the other teams in testing, and although I would assume that they are still at the front of the midfield, there is a very evident gap remaining to the front two teams in Mercedes and Red Bull. By the end of the race and Perez in 5th, he was gaining on Lando by up to a second a lap, and I do wonder whether he might have overtaken him and finished fourth had he not suffered his electronic blip on the formation lap. Ricciardo, on the other hand, had perhaps a slightly low-key debut for his new team, getting into a scrap with Gasly at the start of the race and showing some inconsistent pace, although the team did later explain this by saying he picked up floor damage in his collision. A little bit of extra time to get up to speed with the car is not unexpected, as Lando has had an extra 2 years in the team, but at any rate, his debut for McLaren was a lot more successful than his Renault debut, as he managed to complete the first lap with his front wing intact. Moving on to Ferrari, considering their form last year, finishing in 6th and 8th is actually quite an impressive result, and there were no signs of the embarrassing lack of pace that they showed on the straights last year, which would suggest that they have pulled back some of their engine deficiencies that were of course definitely not caused, wink wink, by their secret agreement with the FIA in 2019. Charles had a strong race, arguably qualifying out of position as he so often does in that Ferrari, although he was held off by Lando in a battle during the race, which would suggest that the McLaren is still somewhere above the Ferrari in terms of pace. Sainz, finishing 8th, had a steady first race for his new team, however it would seem that he's got to grips with the car reasonably well, with some impressive battling between him, Alonso and Vettel during the race. Moving on down the order and to our second Italian team, the AlphaTauri seems to be a surprising little rocket ship this year, with Gasly qualifying a very impressive 5th. He was undoubtedly denied some serious points through his contact with Ricciardo early on in the race. Tsunoda, on the other hand, had a very impressive debut, earning well-deserved praise. He picked up 2 points for his troubles, which could have been more had he not had a sheepish opening lap, which he himself admitted he needs to improve on. Despite being a bit timid at the start, he managed to fight back to 9th, making some very impressive overtakes that were simply a joy to watch with his acrobatic driving style, exhibiting the confidence of a much more experienced driver. It's going to be very interesting to watch him at Imola, especially as he has more experience around this track, having conducted pre-season testing there in an old Toro Rosso car. Alfa Romeo had perhaps one of the most frustrating races, showing some okay pace yet finishing 11th and 12th with nothing to show for their efforts. Kimi was the highest finishing Alfa, just outside the points. There wasn't much to be said during the race for this team, and both drivers had quite a quiet 56 laps, although it must be said that their car is absolutely gorgeous, so points for that. Moving on to a team that's in the news but all for the wrong reasons, it probably wasn't the return to Formula 1 that Aston Martin were expecting, with Vettel only finishing 15th and picking up a 10 second penalty for an ill-considered attempt to overtake Ocon going into Turn 1. That being said, there was an interesting battle as mentioned before between Vettel, Alonso and Carlos, with this perhaps being the highlight of the British team's weekend, with Lance Stroll only picking up a single point. Overall, the weekend was very disappointing for Aston Martin and did not at all live up to the hype of their car launch earlier in the month. Despite some engaging battles and a stunning livery, Alpine had another unfortunate race. Alonso retired due to a sandwich wrapper in his brake duct, causing overheating, and Ocon was undoubtedly set back by his contact with Vettel. However, the car did seem to just lack pace in general, and it was not clear that he would have finished inside the points anyway. Considering Alonso's reputation for expecting the best, I can assume that the debrief was extremely frosty. Not in last place for once, Williams again had a very quiet weekend, only really appearing on screen to be lapped. That being said, George Russell did manage to get the car into Q2 again, living up to his reputation as Mr. Saturday. Although he did manage to finish ahead of Aston Martin's Sebastian Vettel, this was undoubtedly aided by the German's collision with Ocon and subsequent 10 second time penalty. Latifi had a very quiet weekend, being outqualified by George again and retiring with a turbocharger problem just prior to the chequered flag. It is unclear what gains Williams have made over the winter break, however I am hopeful that they will show more pace later in the season. Finally, we have Haas, and as to be expected, they finished last, with both of their rookie drivers having a very hard first weekend in the sport. Mazepin, or Mazespin as he has now been named, managed to complete more formation laps than successful racing corners, although Schumacher did have a very similar incident, suggesting that maybe there is something wrong with the car. Considering the team's budget and lack of development for this year, this is not at all surprising, and I can't imagine Gunther was very happy. However, it should be noted that Schumacher did manage to keep his Haas out of the wall, a slight silver lining in what is going to be an undoubtedly very hard season for the American team. Overall, this is probably the best season opener we have seen in a very long time, and if the following 22 races are anything like it, we're in for an absolute treat. The midfield appears to be closer than ever, with some amazing battles between Alonso, Vettel and Sainz, as well as another battle slightly further up the field between the two McLarens and Leclerc, with Norris eventually coming out on top, likely due to his experience in the McLaren. Hopefully Red Bull can maintain advantage over Mercedes, and with two cars at the front they might be able to hold on to victories. With that being said, there are some notable questions that have been raised by the Bahrain Grand Prix. First of all, track limits have been a major talking point, since Verstappen had to return the lead to Hamilton after exceeding track limits at Turn 4, an obligation that, in my opinion, cost him too much time and the chance to re-overtake Hamilton. The drama stems from the fact that for the race, unlike earlier sessions, there were different regulations regarding track limits at Turn 4. For the race, track limits were not strictly monitored, although action would be taken if the driver gained a so-called lasting advantage. Using this part of the track at Turn 4 gives an estimated 2/10 advantage per lap and saved the tyres, which could have been a massive impact on the fight for the lead had the rules been clearer and drivers could have either taken advantage or not gone off the road at all. What is evident is that the rules need to be clearer to avoid confusion. Exceeding track limits should either be completely forbidden or very clearly allowed in the sporting regulations. Undoubtedly, the most exciting question arising from this weekend was whether we for once have a real title fight on our hands. Red Bull have made an uncharacteristically good start to the season, and I hope that they can maintain this momentum. Otmar Szafnauer of Aston Martin was quick to claim that low-rate cars have lost up to a second per lap due to the variation in the regulations for this season, although the truth of this can be questioned. With a fast Red Bull and hopefully two cars in the fight, as Mercedes have appeared to have been slowed down, I hope that even if they can't win it, Red Bull give Mercedes a fight to the end of the season, going into 2022 in the new regulations that should hopefully shake up the order in a big way. Along these lines, the midfield looks a lot closer this year, with teams that had a comparatively poor weekend, such as Alpine, running as high as 7th with Alonso at one point, although admittedly this did not last. Now then, with 3 weeks until Imola, there's nothing better to do than to make predictions, so I'll make three. First of all, I think that Verstappen will win the race, as he showed good pace there last year before his crash, and hopefully the gains Red Bull has made to the Mercedes, especially in qualifying pace, will allow for him to hold on to P1. That being said, Italy seemed to be a bit of a bogey country for Red Bull last year, so hopefully nothing goes wrong. Next, I think that Yuki Tsunoda will get into Q3. He looks more and more comfortable with the AlphaTauri, and Imola is a track that he's relatively familiar with. If I had to make an estimate, I'd say there's a chance he ends up in P6 or P7. Finally, I think that Vettel will have another horrendous weekend, as neither the car nor him seem to be there. He will probably go out in Q2, and I don't think he'll score points, though admittedly, I don't think this is a very bold prediction. That's all for this week's race review, and thank you for listening to the first episode of the 5 Red Lights podcast. Please follow us on Instagram at 5 Red Lights Podcast, and please give this podcast a review if you enjoyed it. The next race review will be released on Tuesday the 20th of April, with more episodes coming in between, focusing on paddock gossip between races to keep you up to date, as well as the introduction of our new series, A Short View Back to the Past, where we talk about interesting oddities in the past of Formula One. Goodbye.